Okay. All right, as I said, we're going to start a series of studies. We're going to start off tonight with a study on the beast. And over the course of days and weeks and months ahead, we're going to look into different subjects within the Book of Revelations, and eventually we'll end up doing an in-depth study of the Book of Revelations. But tonight, we're going to look at the beast, a biblical look at the beast. You know, in Isaiah, we read in chapter 28, verse 8, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with a stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear, but the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. So here in Isaiah chapter 28, God is telling us that this is how we must have knowledge, and this is how we must understand doctrine. This is how we come to an understanding of God's word, by first being weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, and comparing scripture with scripture, line upon line and precept upon precept. The Bible is its own interpreter. We need to look at the Bible in light of the Bible to come to an understanding of these things. We read, starting off with this study in on the beast, we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. So we learn here in Ephesians chapter 2 that Satan is the prince and power of the air. The prince and the power of the air is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And this word air is the idea of that which we breathe and we aspire back out to blow out. We breathe it in unconsciously and we exhale it out again. And it is that very same air that we use to have conversation. Without air, you cannot be heard. Air is required to take the sound of your voice that comes out of your mouth to the ear of the listener. And here the Lord says that Satan is prince and power of that air. He is the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of the flesh. So the conversations of the world is under the influence of Satan. Satan is in total control of the conversations of the world. We look here, we'll be open for questions and comments and or any corrections that could be offered at the end of this study. So feel free at the end of this study to raise your hand for any questions or comments. In Luke chapter 11, in verse 24, we read, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house, from whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell therein. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So here is a picture of a religious man, and it talks about a spirit dwelling inside of a man. And this is a parable that the Lord has told us. And in this he gives us some insight of the things of the kingdom. And we read that this unclean spirit goes out of a man, and when he doesn't find a place to rest, he comes back into that house, into that dwelling place. And he finds that it's been all swept and garnished. This is a person, this is a picture of someone who has found something and is trying to clean their own house up and work out their own salvation. And so he finds it cleaned and garnished, but nothing is in its place. Christ is not in there. So he goeth and taketh to himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and they dwell therein. And of course the last state of that individual is worse than the first. Here is a person who has religion but doesn't have Christ. They have the things of their own desire and the way they think that they need to be and to work out their own salvation plan. So we see that the spirits of Satan and his angels dwell in the hearts of unsaved men. We read of what's going on in the hearts of men in Mark chapter 4, verse 14. The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they heard Satan cometh, immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. So this is where Satan is working. He's working in the hearts of unsaved people. And when a word is sown in someone's heart, and this is a picture of someone by the wayside, a word is sown in their heart, Satan cometh and taketh away that which was sown. And all these are likewise which are sown on the stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time, but afterwards, when affliction and persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they that are sown by the thorns, such as that hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of the riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they that are sown on the good ground, such as that hear the word, and receiveth, and bringeth forth some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. So God is working, sowing seeds in the hearts of individuals by the preaching of the gospel. You know, we read in the Bible that many are called, but only few are chosen. And we are commanded to make our calling, not only our calling, but our election sure. The churches throughout the church ages have been filled, or the church age has been filled with unsaved people. That was the common situation. It always has been. There have been many people who heard the call. They recognized something. They responded. They came in. But they never became, they were not elected. They never became saved. And so many are called, but few are chosen. So we see Satan here is a picture of Satan working in the hearts of unsaved men. And we also see the work of God. We read in Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, "But those things which proceeded out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." So what proceeded out of the mouth comes forth from the heart. And so the question is what has been sown in your heart? Is it the seed of the word of God, and has it taken root? Has the ground been prepared to receive that seed? Or is Satan dwelling there? We read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God. because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and that is Christ within you. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It is how they respond to the word of God. And it is Christ within us that leads us through truth. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He is the treasure in our hearts. We read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we compare this to Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, And behold, there cometh a leper, and worship him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And this clean and pure heart is what is necessary in order for us to become born again. In Psalms chapter 51, verse 10, we read, Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit in me, and that is the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That is Christ dwelling within us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read concerning this treasure in verse 6, For it is God who commanded the light that shineth out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. There was once darkness in our hearts. When we were born into this sin-cursed earth, we became part of the kingdom of Satan. We were in bondage to Satan. And at some point, when we become saved, the day star rises in our hearts. And here is where we read in 2 Corinthians 4:6, For God who commanded the light, and that light is Christ, to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are those earthen vessels. Christ is that treasure, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So when we bring forth the word and we say, Thus saith the word, thus saith the Lord, it is Christ within us that is bringing that word. He is bringing it by spirit and letter. On the other hand, we read of a picture in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, And they came over on the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. You see, here is a picture of an individual where Satan is ruling in the heart. That is his treasure. And the treasures are the things of the world. So this man has an unclean spirit who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he saith unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. and he sought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place and into the sea. They were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. Now, to run off into the sea and to sink into the depths of the sea is a picture of being cast into the depths of hell. And the sea is representative of the world heading to hell. And here is a picture. When he asked them their names, they said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, Jesus had commanded this unclean spirit to come out of them. And we read that these are devils dwelling inside this man, in the heart of this individual. Whenever we preach the gospel, and if someone responds to that gospel, if the Holy Spirit is working through the preaching of that gospel and moves into the heart of that individual, and the day star arises, then the devil has been cast out, as we read about in Mark chapter 16, that we will cast out devils. And of course, it's not us that do it. We are the vessels of the Lord, and we're just bringing His Word. It is Christ within us that is declaring His Word into our ears, and we bring forth out of our mouth as the Spirit leads us through the letter and Spirit together. But here we see clearly the picture of unclean spirits dwelling in the hearts of men, and we see clearly Christ dwelling in the hearts of men. But we read in Acts chapter 8, verse 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. So again, the heart is not right in the sight of God. We read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with His might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That is how Christ dwells in our hearts. He is the Word, and the Word became flesh, and that treasure of that Word dwells richly in our hearts, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, and what is the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God. Out of the hearts, Mark chapter 7, verse 20, and he said, That which cometh out of the man that defileth the man. For from within out of the heart of men proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceitfulness, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, we read, A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So it's what's coming out of the heart of the individual comes forth out of the mouth. So the conversations, again, it gets back to the conversations of the world or the conversations of the kingdom. We read that the devil puts these things into the heart. In John chapter 13, verse 1, we read, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he could depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." So Satan puts the things of the kingdom of Satan, of his kingdom, into the hearts of those that are part of his kingdom. And God puts into the heart the things that into his people, of the things of the part of his kingdom. And the things that he puts into our heart is the Word of God, which is Christ. The Word became flesh. We read in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible men, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen." Their foolish hearts were darkened. They professed themselves to be wise. Therefore, they became fools. In Romans chapter 2, verse 28, we read, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is the circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." We read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, wherewith you do well, and you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star rises in your hearts." So it is the working in the heart. The question becomes, who's working in your heart? Is it Satan working in your heart, or is it Christ working in your heart? Is the Word dwelling richly? Is the treasure of God in this earthen vessel? And so we see how Satan is working in the heart until we become born again, and then Christ is now dwelling in that heart. We read of the tongue, and the tongue brings forth, you know, the things from the heart. It reveals what's going on in the heart of individuals. What comes out of the tongue, what comes off the tongue, is what's in the heart and in the mind of that individual. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20, we read, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." In Psalms chapter 10, verse 7, we read, "His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward parts is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Cast them out in the multitude. We read in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23, whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. In James chapter 3, verse 1, concerning the tongue, we read, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and is able to bridle the whole body. And who is the perfect man but Christ? And who is able to bridle his whole body but Christ? And we are the body of Christ. And Christ is the perfect man that is able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeneth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell, for every kind of beast, and of bird, and of serpents, and of the things of the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So here, the tongue could set a fire of the world. And Christ has, being the perfect man, is able to bridle the tongue of his body. He puts into our hearts, and he makes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. He puts his word into our hearts, and that's the treasure that comes forth out of our mouth. It is the tongue. Now let's take a look at the beast. Now that we've come to appreciate that spirits dwell in the hearts of men. Evil spirits, wicked spirits, devils dwell and move about in the hearts of men. That's where they're dwelling. They're dwelling in man, moving about one to another. And when the day star rises in our hearts, then darkness flees. Then Christ dwells there. And it's the Holy Spirit that moves through the body of Christ. And it is the conversations of the kingdom that God puts into our heart as the Holy Spirit moves through us. And we know it by the letter that he has given us. The Spirit does not work outside of the letter of the Word of God. Now we read in Revelations chapter 9, verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded. Now the fifth angel is the loosing of Satan, and as we get into the book of Revelation, as time goes on, we're going to get into detail, very good detail of the seven trumpets, and we're going to look in each and every one of these trumpets, and particularly trumpet number 5, 6, and 7. And this fifth trumpet is the loosing of Satan. And I saw the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And we know that this is Christ. It is Christ who has fallen from heaven onto the earth. And the earth is representative of the corporate church. And the star, of course, is Christ. And this word fall is the very same word fall that we read about in the Gospels, where the Lord said, if you fall on this rock, you will be broken, talking of himself. But if this rock falls on you, then you will be crushed to powder. If Christ was to fall on you, that is the picture of judgment. If the rock were to fall on you, you'd be crushed to powder. Judgment. And here is Christ coming down in judgment upon the church. And so we read, a star falls from heaven onto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. In the beginning of Revelations, we discover it is Christ who has the key. And he is the one who is able to bind or to loose Satan. And he is the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there was arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now the sun represents the light of the gospel. The sun is the gospel, and that now has been darkened. Not only the sun, but also the air, the place of conversation. What is the conversations? In the corporate church, it should be the gospel. And now the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts, and the locusts are the false prophets and the false teachers, upon the earth. And that's a picture of the church. And unto them was given the power, scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass or of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God. Now here God is identifying the grass and the green things and the trees as men. And I know the Bible teaches us that grass is a picture of spiritual food, but we also know that God uses the word tree as men, and he uses the word grass as a figure of men. We read, for instance, let's see, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 6, and the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall abide forever. So here is a picture of grass being, you know, referred to as men, as flesh. We read, looking at the word trees, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bringeth forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, and is cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. So here God has given us a picture of trees, and given us a picture that trees are figuratively a picture of men. So we have this picture where we read in Revelations again, he says, and it was commanded, verse 4, chapter 9, verse 4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither the trees, but only those men that have not the seal of God in their forehead. And the seal of God makes them God's elect. And in them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should torment them 5 months. And their torment was the torment of the scorpion when it striketh a man. And in those days men shall seek death and shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And that death that they are seeking is the death to be buried with Christ in his baptism and to be raised again in his resurrection. And this is the death that men desire. It's salvation that they desire. And so men shall seek death. They shall seek salvation and shall not find it. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were crowns like gold. And their faces were the faces of men. And here the Bible tells us that these people had crowns as if they were crowns like gold, but they are not crowns of gold, because the crowns of gold identify with those who are part of the kingdom of heaven. But these appear to be bringing the gospel. They appear to be that of the kingdom of heaven. They have crowns like gold, and their faces as the face of men. And they had the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. The picture of the woman, of course, is the picture of the harlot. Here, there is the corporate church claiming to be the body of Christ. And the teeth that they have is the teeth of lions. Satan walketh around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was the sound of many chariots and many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tail. And the power was to hurt men 5 months. 5 months. Now we know that the scorpions identified with Satan. In the Bible, when you look up scorpions, almost every time, not every time, but almost every time, you will see the scorpion with a snake. Always in view with the snake. And the scorpions also live in desert places where there's not much water. They live in the dust. And the stings that they have that's in their tails is a picture of their paralyzing gospel, the poisonous gospel that they bring, and they entice others to come. And so it says here in their tail, and they had their tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and the power was to hurt men 5 months. Now God, I know using this word 5 months, five identifies with judgment. Five has two meanings. It is either judgment or grace. We get this picture, for instance, in the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 received the grace and 5 received judgment. And so this is a time of judgment to hurt men 5 months. Months gives us a picture of time, but of course it doesn't give us a literal time period like 5 months. So there is a time period that God is focusing in on this judgment. And it's coming upon the corporate church, the corporate body. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there cometh two more woes hereafter. We did a study not long ago on the three woes, and we're going to do another one hopefully in the next coming weeks. So we're going to look at these three woes again. But we know that this one woe here is identified with the fifth angel sounding. And when we get into the study, we're going to discover that the second woe identifies with the removing of the candlestick, which is to depart out of the church, come out of her, my people. And the third woe is Judgment Day itself, the day that the Lord comes down with the shout of the chief messenger and declares that there is time no more. But this is the first woe. One woe is past, and behold, there cometh two more woes hereafter. And what is it that has happened in this one woe? Satan was loosed, and he comes up out of the earth, out of the bottomless pit. Now, continuing to look at the beast here, we get a picture here of Satan as the beast. In Acts chapter 28, verse 3, we read, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. And here, of course, is the picture we read concerning, for instance, in Mark chapter 16, where no deadly thing, we can be... let's open it up. I forget exactly how that's put. Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Okay, Mark 16, verse 18, we read, "They shall take up serpents, And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So we will become snake handlers. We will take up serpents. And if it bite, if that serpent bites us, it'll have no effect on us, no poisonous effect. Their poisonous gospel, venom, has no effect on us. But it is deadly to those who are its prey, who are not born again, who are not a part of the body of Christ. Here, in Titus chapter 1, verse 10, God identifies the false prophets that are claiming godliness as beasts. He calls them beasts. In Titus chapter 1, verse 10, we read, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of them, even a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables, and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their minds and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." So God is making a point that those who are claiming to be godliness and their false prophets bringing a lie are as beasts. And we read that the beasts are not to even touch the mountain. And the mountain is the high place, the place where the gospel is being preached. They are not to even touch the mountain. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness without, which no man shall see, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessings, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. And sound the trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that hear entreated that the words should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of messengers or angels." So here, you know, God is speaking of the end of the world, and he's speaking of a time when the beast even so much as touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And God refers to this mountain, and when as it goes on and tells us, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake, but ye are come unto Mount Sinai, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of messengers or angels. So the mountain is being identified with the body of Christ, that which is bringing the law and bringing the word of God. We read in Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 24, "But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land. I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from the people. Ye shall therefore put difference between the clean beast and the unclean, and between the unclean fowls and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beasts, or by fowls, or by the manner of living things that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, as the Lord, I am the Lord, and am holy, and have served..." Let me reread that. "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have served you from other people, that ye should be mine." Severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. "A man also, or a woman, that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall be stones with stones. Their blood shall be upon them." So here, again, we see the picture of God talking about separating the clean from the unclean, the clean beast and the unclean. And anybody who is part of the kingdom of Satan is part of that beast. But then there are those that are sanctified, those who are under the hearing of the word. And we all come from the kingdom of Satan. And so therefore God's elect is also sprinkled among the kingdom of Satan. And God has purposed himself in this world to come in and to die for sinners like us, to remove us from the kingdom of Satan and translate us into the kingdom of God. Now we see another picture of the beast. Well, let me look at one other verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy." So, to become under the hearing of the word of God, to be sanctified, and also to be under the rod, that is the key point, to be under the rod of Christ, the rod of correction, the law, and the fear of God is within them. That's where people need to be in order to come under the hearing of the word of God. When people don't fear God, and are not ruled under the law, come with their own ideas, then we have a whole different story, and the true gospel is not being preached. We read of another beast, and this beast we read about in Revelation 13, coming up out of the sea. We read Revelation 13, verse 1. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded unto death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and the tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose name was not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have a ear to hear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So here we read about this beast coming up out of the sea, and the sea is a picture of the world, and Satan indeed is ruling in the world, and he is coming up out of the world. And we read here is John standing upon the sand of the sea. And so this little island is in picture, and that's exactly where he's at. That's the sand of the sea. You know, any dry land is really a mountaintop coming up out of the sea. And that's the place, the picture, where the gospel is being preached, on the land, in the earth, in the sand of the sea. And I saw the beast coming up. Now this beast ultimately is Satan dwelling in unsaved mankind collectively. In other words, Satan moves about in the hearts of unbelievers, in the hearts of unsaved men. And all of his devils also move about and dwell and work in the hearts of unsaved men. You know, we read in the beginning here, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh. So Satan is ruling the conversations of men. He's ruling in the hearts of unsaved men. And this is the picture of that beast coming up out of the sea. And he's coming up out of the sea, ultimately, we also see the picture of him coming up out of the earth. So he comes up out of the world. This picture, we see he has seven heads and ten horns. You know, we know that seven deals with the perfection, and this is the perfection of his work. And that seven heads identify with the seven churches that we read about in the beginning of the book of Revelations, where the Lord warns them that he would remove their candlestick if they did not return unto their first love, which is Christ. And the ten is the completeness of whatever God has in view, and his power, the completeness of his power, because horns identify with power. So he has seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horn ten crowns. He is coming with a kingdom, and we read earlier that his crowns were on men, as there was a crowns as if they were crowns of gold. In Revelations chapter 13, we get to verse 11. We read of another beast, the first beast coming up out of the sea, and he goes on to tell us in verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now two identifies with the church, and horns identify with the power, ultimately the word. So he has two horns like a lamb. He's also coming as an angel of light. He's coming claiming to be Jesus, bringing the word. But he speaks as a dragon, and we know God has identified the dragon as Satan. And he exercises all the power of the first beast. And that first beast, again, is Satan dwelling in unsaved mankind collectively. And he's bringing the things of the world and the things of the kingdom of Satan into the church, preaching and bringing another Jesus, as the Bible warns us. So he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell upon therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, and even though that he make, insomuch that he maketh fire come down from heaven onto the earth in the sight of men. So this beast, there's a picture of him coming up out of the world, and that's the first beast, and the second beast coming up out of the sea, which is a picture of the world, and the second beast coming up out of the earth, which is a picture of the corporate church. We also read that he is loosed from within the earth in Revelations, chapter 9 we were looking at earlier. So, here we see this picture of Satan working in the, actually collectively working in the hearts of unsaved men. And that is the picture of the beast. Now in Revelation chapter 13 verse 14 we read, and he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had worked, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. And the image of the beast that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, poor and free, and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of his name of the beast or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him that understandeth count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. And here again, you know, we know that 666 identifies with two-thirds, and two-thirds identifies with mankind, and it's the unsaved mankind. It is the third that is brought through and tried in the fire and brought through, and God says, these are my people. But the other two-thirds are lost, and so they never became saved, and they identify with the beast, with unsaved mankind. The number of the beast is the number of 666. It's mankind. And as we look at this image, we see that this image, he makes this image that it should both speak and cause as many that should not worship the beast, that they should be killed. And that is what's going on in the churches throughout the Great Tribulation. We saw how we were required to worship the beast and to the body of Christ, and the churches were being killed. They were being silenced and prevented from bringing forth the truth, and they were bringing lies. They were bringing another gospel. We read. Let's see the language here. That no man might buy or sell, that is to preach the gospel, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So he caused, in verse 16, he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their forehead. So they came under the will of Satan, the will ultimately through the church, which is really the image of the beast. That's the image of the beast. It is the church bringing another gospel. And they are requiring the people within the church to worship the beast by worshiping the image that the church has put forward. And that's the image of the beast in Revelation chapter 13. All right, I'm going to stop here. Well, let me just bring a few more verses just to look at this word image. You know, we know that Christ is the expressed image of the Father. And he also is the Word that became flesh. And we know Christ by his Word and through his Word. The Word is the image of Christ. It is the mind of Christ. We read concerning the differences of images. We read in Philippians chapter 3 verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their name, who mind earthly things. So that what's in their mind is the things of earthly things, and their God is their belly. It's the things of the flesh. Their glory is their own shame. Okay, in Revelations, a couple more verses. Revelations chapter 16, verse 12, and the sixth messenger poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up. Now this sixth messenger, or sixth angel that's pouring out the vial, is also identifies with the sixth messenger that blows the trumpet early in Revelations. I think it's in Revelations chapter 9. And we read here that the river Euphrates is dried up, and we know that the sixth trumpet is the removing of the candlestick, is the removing of the body of Christ. And here the river Euphrates is being dried up. It says here, the vial upon a great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and to the whole world, to gather them together to battle for the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth the garments, lest he walk naked, and they shall see his shame. And he gathered them together at a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. So here are these three unclean spirits, like frogs, coming out of the mouth of the dragon. And this gives us a picture, you know, three identifies with the purpose of God, but these are three unclean spirits. And it's coming out of the mouth of the dragon. That's out of Satan, the mouth of Satan, and therefore also out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And so it's what they're preaching. They're preaching three unclean spirits and not the Trinity. We have the picture in the Bible tells us that God is one God, yet there are three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here we read these three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and of the beast and of the false prophet. So they're bringing, again, another gospel. They have another image. They got another Jesus that they are leading the people to, and another gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. We read, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible men, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. So here, God is clearly telling us how they are worshiping the things of man. They change the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man. They preach a God out of the minds of their out of their own minds. It's the God that they have created out of their fleshly minds, and that is the image of the beast, and it's the false gospel that is being taught. And we have the picture of the Trinity here. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 48, as is the earthly, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And the image of the heavenly is Christ. He is the image of the perfect God. He is the expressed image of God. He is the image of the heavenly. And we also bear the image of the heavenly. We should be reflecting Christ. And how do we reflect Christ? By bringing his word. and those that are bringing the earthly things, the things of men, the things of the minds of men, are bringing another image, another Jesus, another gospel. Alright, well anyway, that comes to an end. Anybody have any questions or any corrections that could be made, feel free to pick up the mic.